Hi, I'm Little Pooh. I live in your radio. This is my dog, Sugar Bear.
Ruff, ruff.
He lives in here, too.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight we're going to be taking your calls, not just right this moment, so don't be running your little finger to a nub on your real dial button just yet. I want to sort of prepare you for what you're going to hear. A raving maniac is with me in the studio tonight. Actually, I'm not quite sure, but we're going to find out. You know, it's not too often that you meet someone in your life whom you can befriend and remain friends with over many, 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 many years. And my guest tonight is just such a person. My grandfather told me once when I was a very young man, he said, "Bill, if when you die, you can count 5 good friends in your entire life, you've done well." And he also told me, "If you don't count a lot of enemies in your life, you never did anything right." And I've since discovered that my grandfather is absolutely correct. So, I haven't seen this fellow for a long time. We became friends many, many years ago in Hawaii when I lived there and was in the Navy, attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence and on the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. We did commercial diving jobs together. We took people on diving trips on the reefs. We went out and did crazy things and broke all the rules and did things that people said we would die for, and we're still around. We played and we partied. I'll let him tell you, and we'll open the phones and you'll be able to talk to him for the rest of this hour about anything you want to talk to. He is the best friend that I've ever had the pleasure to have in my entire life. And we don't get to see each other as often as we'd like to, but he's here tonight, and I think this opening number will sort of express our feelings anyway.
Come on, let's crazy cat, nothing to lose, so come on, let's crazy cat, nothing to lose, so come on, let's crazy cat, nothing to lose, so come on, hey, baby, come on. Come on, let's crazy cat, nothing to lose.
Everybody out of the pool. Well, Bob, welcome to the Hour of the Dime.
God, it's great being here with you, Bill.
Boy, you got to talk a lot louder than that. I got to get you up here in the red zone.
You got to get into the decibels there.
Right.
Beam them out.
Well, why don't you tell everybody who you are and sort of how we met and what's been going on all these years so they'll know what in the world it is that you're doing here. Because I'm sure that there's some people out there wondering, what is this guy doing as a guest on the show? I never heard of him.
Well, my name is Bob Swan, and Bill and I's, my history go back about 25 years. Like Bill was saying earlier, our mutual friendship and support team started some 25 years ago. Bill stumbled into the diving business I was affiliated with, Skin Diving Hawaii, and needed a break from what he was doing out there and got involved with me. Anyway, help me out here, Bill.
Yeah, who are you? What have you been doing? Where you come from? What are you doing here? What have you been doing the past few years?
Well, the last couple of years, I had to disconnect. The negativity of what's going on in this country after rendezvousing with Bill in Hawaii, I got so depressed, I wanted to kill myself. I didn't know how to handle my responsibilities with my family, so I had to leave. I had to leave this country, and the country that I love. There's a book I have in front of me right now, which I'd like to just give you one little quote from it. Never let reality get in the way of your dreaming. And that's what I did. The reality of our survival today is getting in the way of our dreaming. And we can't let that happen. So we have to stay positive in these times. And the most important thing that we have to do to keep this country strong is to keep our families together. Keep our families together, our businesses together. And how are we going to do that? Well, the unity and the spirituality that we need to keep our units together will keep this country together. Don't you think, Bill?
I think that's absolutely correct. It's what's kept my family and me going for many, many years. And Bob said he wanted to kill himself. He didn't mean that literally. He meant, you know, what am I going to do about all this? And I know that those are questions that that affect everybody out there. Now, Bob has a little bit more background than you might suspect. While I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, I actually showed Bob documentation in, I believe it was 1970, no, it was 1972, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
In 1972, he was able to see some of the documentation that I have been telling you about that I was able to see as a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence. Of course, I wasn't supposed to show these things to him, but they were of such unbelievable importance and really proved to me that the world that we're living in is mostly an illusion, a fantasy land. We're in Disneyland and the park is closed and we don't know it. We're still trying to get on the ride with our e-ticket and it's expired. And so Bob has known for as many years as I've known what's happening and where we're going and what all of this means. And we reconnected later in life and rehashed all of these things. And Bob, in sort of a state of knowing what's coming and not knowing what to do about it, bought a big boat. And I mean a big boat, folks, and went sailing for a couple of years. And he got his head together, and he's back now, and he's in the fight with us, and he's doing things. And when he gets ready to talk about that publicly, I'm sure he will, but not tonight. I want to open the phones so that you'll have an opportunity. I know that a lot of you would like to know a lot about me and about a lot of things from somebody else besides me. And Bob's here tonight, and he can fulfill that function for you. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that Bob is a very truthful individual. He's not going to make up any stories or tell you a lie to protect my sensitive feelings or anything else. And because of what he's been privy to all of these years, he might be able to have some insights into what's happening that maybe in some way I failed to convey to you. So for those of you who don't know the number, it's 520-333-4543. That's 520-333-4543, and we'll begin taking your calls very shortly.
There was something I'd like to add here, Bill, also in the book that I have in front of me, which is a great book. It says, "Don't shout with your spurs on." It's the cowboy's code. Okay, and in this book, on a certain page, it says, "Honesty is something you should never flirt with. You should be married to it." Well, gang, that's what you're going to get here. It's honesty from Bill Cooper and honesty from me, Bob Swank.
And that's really what was the basis of our relationship for all of these years and what allowed us to become such wonderful friends. And for about 8 years in Hawaii, we were just almost inseparable until Bob found this crazy woman and went off with her. And we're married, and three of us paid the preacher that day. That's how nervous everybody was. But our relationship has been based upon honesty and true friendship and the ability to surmount whatever odds came our way. And basically, he's the only man besides my crew in Hawaii that I've ever learned to or that I could trust with my life. Bob, why don't you, before we go to the phones, why don't you tell our listening audience some of the more serious things that I was able to impart to you when I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence back in 1972. Actually, on the eve of my wedding, June the 1st, 1972, I took some very sensitive documents that I had in my possession over to Bob, and I said, "Bob, I'm getting married. I may be bringing a family into this world, and this stuff is weighing heavily on my conscience. There's going to be a one-world government. A lot of things are happening. And I want somebody else besides me to know this that might be concerned about it, because I can guarantee you nobody that I work with is."
Yeah, you know, the sad thing about that day, which the happiest day of my life, was when I got married. And Bill was there for that. And I felt the happiest day of his life should be also the day that he got married. And as all of you experienced, that probably was equally as happy for you. But Bill's wedding day wasn't what mine was. And as best man at his wedding, it was an interesting day, gang. The night before, being his best man, we were to go out and do what all guys do, you know, go out and party. It's the last shot at the other side, you know what I mean? Well, we didn't do that. We sat down and opened up a bottle of Chivas, as I recall.
Yeah, that's right. Chivas Regal.
Yeah, and about halfway through it, Bill said, "You know something, buddy?" He says, "I don't know how long this is going to last. But I got to share something with you." Now, bear in mind, I was in the construction business. One of my clients was Claire Boothluis. Bill was there at a time out in her terrace and so on. She's a very prominent lady and was sharing different theories of hers with us. And anyway, Bill says, "I got to show you something." He says, "Because I don't know how long I'm going to be around." And he shared with me a secret that is no longer a secret, thanks to him. But it was what was imparted to you people that have seen his tape on the Kennedy assassination. Well, it blew me away. It blew me away so far out of reality that I forgot about it for about 7 or 8 years. and then I suppressed it. And anyway, it's all come back. Bill's brought it to light. But it's true. This nation went bankrupt. Our president wanted to solve that problem, pay off the national debt with his signature and a payoff of gold. That's all it would take. But guess what? It didn't happen. So we're slaves now to it. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what we're all looking so hard to find. And the light depends upon how well we can discover the truth and look at it and live with it and deal with it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Bill?
Yeah?
Yeah, I live down around Prescott, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to you about the other night. You are responsible, main part, for waking this country up, and it's growing like a wildfire. Wouldn't have been for Bill Cooper. I don't know if we can make it. I don't know if it would have been another guy who would stand there and put his neck out and awaken the sheeple. I was a sheeple. I started listening to you a couple of years ago. My brother came over one evening, and I said, listen to this guy. He said, man, the guy's nuts. I said, well, listen to him. If it doesn't sound true to you, check it out. And he converted. You just got the truth, and the truth is on your side. You're known for the truth. That's what this country needs.
Well, I certainly thank you for that vote of confidence. And I really appreciate that. And I know that that my work has not been in vain. And I know that I have awakened a lot of people. But there comes a time, you know, when you have to stand back and say, you know, you got to deal with the ones that you've awakened because you've done what you can do as far as the ones who are not. And there'll be people out there who listen to this broadcast with its sort of changed format and may awaken. But I just can't bring myself back to that rehashing the beginnings all over again every night to try to shock people awake and smack them upside the head and plead with them or whatever I had to do to wake you up and others up. It just, there comes a time when you can't deal with that element of the population anymore. And I know that a lot of you can't understand that attitude, but believe me, if you were in my shoes and had done it for as many years as I've been doing it, there really, really does come a day when you can't deal with that kind of thing anymore.
Well, Bill, let me say this, and I'll get off the line and let somebody else get into you, because I know your board's packed every night. You ask for calls. We don't expect you to rehash all that. I mean, the people, they're awakened. They got the information out there. What we would like from you is just your analysis of what's going on and give us the truth. You got a good intelligence agency, and I think you can dig. You got people that can do it. A lot of us out here, we just don't take the time. We're involved in a lot of things, but we do listen to you and we do believe in you.
Well, thank you very much. And we are going to continue that. We are going to give you analysis of what's happening based upon the information that our good people out there spend every day collecting and analyzing and sending in to their station chiefs and then into me, where it undergoes further analysis and comparison with other information. And we're going to continue to furnish information for those people who are awakened. And we're going to, you'll see, I don't think you're going to lose anything in the change that we're making. I think you're going to be happy with it.
Well, bless you, Bill. I'm going to get off. Let somebody else get on.
Okay, thank you for calling. The number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Steve in Northern California.
Hi, Steve.
Last week, listening to your show, you said a couple of things. I wondered if you could elaborate on a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
A man called in. I don't remember exactly what he was trying to say or ask you, but your response to him were two things. The first thing you said was the Christian church existed in the past as an order, believe is what you said?
In its beginning, it was actually a secret order. It was called the Open, Friendly, Secret Society.
I see. And,
It had to. They were under sentence of death by the Emperor of Rome.
I see.
They had passwords and degrees of initiation and everything. They had secret signs, which is the origin of the fish, by the way.
Right. Well, okay. Now I understand exactly what you were talking about. Right after that, you said something to the effect of, I don't want to misquote you here, pray me if I'm wrong, you said something to the effect of, Jesus Christ was not the person many people think he was. He was given the name, the title, or something to that effect.
Yeah, he never called himself Christ. That's a title that was given to him after he died.
Oh, I see.
The Christ, or Christos, was a part of a religion that existed long before he ever came along. It's a part of the hierarchy of the beginnings of the formalized Christian church, which you now know as the Vatican, combining some of the pagan religions with the teachings of what were then known as the Christians to bring about what the religious churches of today are.
I see. Okay.
Christ would not recognize any church that exists on the face of this earth today and calls itself Christian. Nor would he condone or recognize what you see on your television as TV or television evangelists. I'm not saying that they're wrong. They do a tremendous amount of good. But they are not what Christ originally taught.
He would not recognize a church that calls itself Christian?
Not today, no. Not an organized church. He would recognize many Christians.
I see.
But not the organized...
As in the division of denominations and such?
Yes, absolutely.
So you're saying he recognized...
In fact, he would have to wade through thousands of denominations before he could find one that resembled what he originally thought. It's been schismed and fractured and torn apart into so many different dogmas and teachings and interpretations that...
I must agree with you to a large extent there, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I see. One more thing. You said to look for something, possibly something significant on Friday the 13th of this month.
Yes, it's the first time in over 600 years that the 13th of October has fallen on a Friday.
Right.
The 13th of October is the day that the Knights Templar, which is the origin of the modern Illuminati, was attacked and disbanded and destroyed and arrested and persecuted by the Catholic Church and the King of France.
Uh-huh.
They destroyed the royalty of France with the French Revolution, and they have sworn vengeance upon the church. So I don't know what, if anything, will happen. But I will tell you this. They deal in symbols and symbology.
Uh-huh.
They would not pass up Friday, October the 13th, in my estimation, in studying the history of these secret orders, I believe that they will take full advantage of this symbolic day to cause something to happen. I have no idea what it will be, but they wouldn't bother if it were not significant.
I think you said something to the effect of you don't expect them to wait another 600 years.
That's right. I don't believe they will.
You said, if I remember correctly, you said, possibly an attempt on the Pope's life?
Yes, it could be. And if you know your Bible history,
mm-hmm.
This is the last Pope, isn't it?
Yes, I see.
Since they want to preserve the illusion or the reality, whichever the case may be, that the book of Revelations is being brought to pass by the hand of God in order to pacify and neutralize large segments of the population, And if they want to bring about their one world government by the year 2000, what a perfect opportunity.
But even though he is apparently part of the, as my understanding, that he's part of the current Pope is part of the
hierarchy of the Vatican, yes. There have been some popes that are tools, just like some presidents have been tools.
Okay. But correct me wrong, the present Pope is one of the men who helped create Cyclone B, etc.
Yes. Not only that, but the last pope, the one who preceded him, was only in office exactly 33 days. It is a fact that he was poisoned, murdered, and it was done so that this pope could come into office who has made tremendous changes in the Catholic Church.
Now, the 33 days and the poisoning of that pope, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, and it's all symbolic.
Yes, it is. I'm happy to say that it is very clear to me now, yes. Thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And, folks, remember, I'm not attacking the Catholic Church or good Catholics. I'm just talking reality here. And if it really bothers you, turn off your radio, you know, just like you do with Roseanne.
I sometimes have trouble getting that across to people.
Yeah.
Also, thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, it's all very interesting. In the 2 years that I've been away, I had to leave. I had to go see the rest of the world, or a good section of it. And after returning a month or so ago, getting back into watching what's going on and so on, it's I'm right back where I left, and it's devastating. It's hearing this the despair in the first caller's voice really bothers me. He was upset. The second caller seems to have a pretty good order on things, and the despair in the first caller just really bothers me, Bill.
Well, you know, everybody handles all of these things in a different way, and it's shocking, and it bothers people. But it's not half as shocking as it would be if nobody knew anything until the last moment, and it was just came down raining upon their heads with no chance or ability to prepare or plan to do anything to divert it or stop it or change it. And we've come a long way just in the last few years, where I had to travel 1,000 miles to talk to a couple of people in the living room. I mean, we now have 10 million listeners each night on radio. If I go somewhere to speak, depending on where I go, I can fill a hotel ballroom to overflowing capacity, or something like the Salt Dome. And so do many other people. So there is an awakening, and people are preparing and forming militias. And you saw what happened in the last election, which gave people a lot of hope, although it really didn't change anything. It showed people that they do have some power if they want to exercise that power.
Well, how many people out there actually will take responsibility for their own actions? Or is it the attorneys that need to fight our battles these days?
Well, you know what I think about attorneys. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good.
This is Bill from Washington, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
I noticed in the New York Times today there was an article that mentioned that Flick Willie's so-called anti-terrorist bill doesn't look like it's going to make it now. And it lists that several members of Congress are suspicious now because of the different things that went on, you know, Waco and Ruby Ridge and all that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very proud to make this statement.
Yeah.
Part of this is because of the influence of Veritas on the members of Congress to whom it is hand-delivered every issue. These people have never read any newspaper in their life like Veritas, nor have they ever had an opportunity to see or read anything outside of what's presented to them in the establishment media, just like the rest of the population.
Yeah, exactly. I plan on subscribing soon also. And my main point was that I remember a few weeks ago, you must have caught in Flick Willie when he was on TV or something. I don't watch TV, but he said, how much does it take, or what is it going to take to get my crime bill through, or blah, 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 you know. And I was thinking about that today, In other words, I have a feeling that the Arkansas Wonder is going to be up to no good again pretty soon. It's just a gut feeling.
What he said was actually a threat. He didn't say, what's it going to take? He said, what else has to happen to get this bill passed? That's his exact words. Direct, exact quote out of his mouth. And I didn't really appreciate his little rose speech after the bombing in Oklahoma City. Boy, you talk about symbology.
Did he have that little stupid little grin on his face after he said what else has to happen?
Yep, sure did.
No, he
did this on radio, which was also videotaped, and it was presented on the news, and part of that was on television. I mean, it was just this man is incredible.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, the Clinton scandal, we had a couple series of tapes on that. I taped them and I sent them to the governor of New Jersey for her listening. Christy sent me an official letter back saying thank you very much for the tapes.
Hey, that's great. At least you got an answer.
Okay, I'm going to let somebody else move on, and maybe your guest could comment to see what kind of ideas he has or things like that.
Why don't you ask him a direct question, and so he'll know what to comment, how to answer it. I got to tell you, he is extremely nervous here. I've got him tied to the chair, so he can't bolt and run out of the studio. And I've got a rule that he can't touch anything that's breakable because his hand is shaking.
tell him, don't be nervous. He can't be any more nervous than Chris, that young mining geologist that you had on the show.
Yeah, he was really something, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then he mentioned that there was these, like, automaton type of guards. Guarding certain areas where they're bringing things in by rail,
and
all that. And then I've heard some other things, fantastic things. Of course, I really don't know. But some people seem to think that they're androids or they're humans where the brains have been altered or, you know, like Frankenstein-type people or whatever.
Well, they certainly have the technology to do that, but until somebody presents me with proof, that's just another rumor.
Yeah, that's what I think. Good.
What did you want to ask Bob?
Well, I loved your comment about, I forgot your name, I'm sorry.
Bill.
But, yeah, Bill, about androids and brains being altered. Oh, hello. How many people out there think that your brains have been altered?
Well, if they get that big EOF thing in Alaska or whatever, you know, that thing may just backfire on them. You know, if there's a providence above, no matter which one, you know, I'm not going to get specific, but, you know, maybe the hand of providence can put a backfire into some of their things.
Well, it usually does. You saw what happened when they tried to demonize the patriots of this country. Backfired on the media. They've totally discredited themselves. It's amazing. Nobody believes them anymore. I mean, somebody used to believe them before. Nobody believes them now. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
Hello.
Yes. Good evening, Bill.
I'm here.
Mike from New Jersey.
Hi, Mike.
I'd like to speak to your friend for a minute and ask him a question.
He's right here. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'd like to know how you, Mr. Cooper is about 90% right with everything you say and with everything he says, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank him for all the information he's given us, but you guys are obviously very good friends, and I'm wondering how you deal with your disagreements as your as your education between yourselves goes along. Do you find yourselves disagreeing on some things, and how do you deal with that as the good friends that I hear that you are?
Well, as in any good friendship or marriage, a problem with any communication is people run their egos. And so communication that comes between the two of us, information will go out, and if we don't know it mutually, we will go, hey, I don't know it, but we will find out. So there's never a conflict, there never has been, between Bill and I over the last 25 years as far as information passed between the two of us. So as far as conflicts, they don't exist.
That's very good. I find that, you know, going along and listening to Mr. Cooper and with the most invaluable information that he's passed along to me and his... I understand his frustration with the sheeple, And I found myself just a couple of weeks before he came to the point where he became angry with the sheeple, that I had decided, with relaying the information from my own research and from listening to Mr. Cooper, that it's a very frustrating thing. And I found myself in the same position, although I was very disappointed with Mr. Cooper with how he handled it. And, you know, I'm very glad to hear that he has a friend like yourself, and I think that's the most important thing today, is to have these types of valuable friendships where we can, you know, bounce these things back off each other. It's come obvious to me that, you know, Mr. Cooper's become very frustrated with the sheeple, as I have myself with my own research and trying to relay my message to the sheeple out there. And I can understand his frustration, and it's good that, you know, that I hear that you're a good friend to him, that he has these things that he can possibly share with you and maybe, you know, help him deal with these kind of things, because there's 90% of the population out here is sheeple, and he's 100% right, and I'm very, very grateful to him. And I'm grateful for you to be his friend and coming on the show and sharing with us.
No, that's really wonderful, and I think what Bill needs, and we spoke for 3 or 4 hours this afternoon. It's not really the people out there that don't understand or can't understand. It's the people that aren't taking responsibility for themselves. That is the frustration, because it's really difficult to accept for the older generation that what they've been living is really a lie, and they've been lied to. And so their whole life has to be looked at and dug apart and torn apart. And that's a really difficult introspection that people need to go through. And so what Bill's been doing for these years, and he gets hit with people that don't understand. So I think it's gotten to the point of hey, you guys, get a grip. Take care of your own action. Be responsible for yourself. And so those people that want to take responsibility, boy, I'll tell you, he's here for you. Those that don't, well, you're gonna fall through the cracks, and that's just the way it is.
And I understand exactly how he feels to be labeled, you know, a nutcase, and you know, all the things that have been said to him about him or whatever. I understand how it feels, because I've been in that same position. And recently, it's come to my attention here in southern New Jersey, where I am, that the ex gas salesman from Poland, who will be in Newark, New Jersey, who they're building a throne for at this time, is going to be here. And I try to relate this type of information to people, that this man is possibly a war criminal from World War II, and you can't even imagine the kind of looks that I get. And I'm gonna get off the air and let somebody else on, but I just to let you know that I'm appreciative that Bill has a friend like you, and I thank you, and I'm sure Bill thanks you. And it's important for all of us to know that he does have somewhere where he can turn to bounce some of these feelings off.
Well, that's great. I'll tell you, you're a wonderful human being, and that's what he needs, okay? And that's what this country needs. People that are going to hold this country together to the unity, keep the family together, and that's what it'll make it happen. It'll be okay.
Thanks, Bill, and I'm waiting for the next Veritas, too. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Don't believe all this stuff about no arguments. This is guy, only guy in the world sitting next to me right now that ever broke my nose and got away with it.
Also, you're a pretty big guy. I imagine he might have had something in return for that.
He did. I poured a bottle of champagne over his head.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, we used to roughhouse quite a bit and wrestle and, you know, all kind of. We were wrestling on a boat one day and took a tumble, and my nose hit the hatch combing and broke it, and blood was going everywhere, and we stood up and
that's why he's such a good-looking guy.
Started laughing and pouring champagne over each other's heads and went on partying. Good evening, you're on the air. We were crazy in those days.
Bill, this is Tom from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Tom.
I'm calling just a quick question. Did you receive the map and other stuff I sent you?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, you got any comments on that map, Bob?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that today. Wow, why don't you expound upon that map there?
Well, you know, actually, I thought your map was going to be different, but we, and I'm glad that you sent it because yours is a little bigger than the one that we have. But actually, it was. In fact, I've talked about it before. It was made in 1942 in New York City, printed in 1942, and it shows the partition of the countries post-war. Almost exactly the way that it came out, including a new country that had never existed before and that nobody could predict would exist, called the Hebrew land on the map, which we know today as Israel.
Well, one other comment I wanted to make. Have you ever heard of someone referred to as, I believe, Archbishop Malachi from Ireland?
I've heard that name before, but I can't.
It's M-A-L-A-C-H-Y. He was from perhaps the 12th or 13th century, roughly.
Yes, I've heard the name, but I can't remember exactly.
Hey, well, the reason that it's significant, you mentioned something about the last pope. He's noted in history for supposedly having penned about, I think it's 112 prophecies of all the future popes to the end of time. And I happened to run across a book that was written.
Oh yeah, now I know who you're talking about. And all of the popes who have taken office since his prophecies have fit the prophecy perfectly.
Yeah, that's the idea. Now, basically, according to his list, the next pope is the last one, according to his list.
Yeah, I think that you're right. According to his list, it is. But according to
that means anything by itself.
Well, according to my interpretation of the Bible, this pope should be the last one. I could be wrong, though.
Well, either way, it's just that since you mentioned something about the last pope, I thought I'd just throw that out there. Not necessarily that it's true.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I think I said it wrong, Willard. Not that this will be the last pope, but when this pope dies, whoever takes his place will be the last pope.
Right, and that is what Malachi's prediction is.
Yeah, and then that's also what I wrote in my book.
Okay.
And that the last pope will actually be the head or the titular head of the New World religion and the charismatic head of the New World government.
Right, and I believe that if you read that prophecy from Malachi, you probably would guess that that's probably exactly what will happen. Just thought I'd mention it in case you hadn't heard or in case some of your listeners hadn't heard.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing it up.
Sure.
I know that there'd be a lot of people out there angry at this conversation. We don't mean any disrespect to them or their religion. We're discussing research.
Okay.
And prophecy, which doesn't always mean anything, depending upon whatever. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
520-333-4578. And if any of you want to call in and dispute any of this, you're welcome to. And remember this, you always get decent treatment from me as long as you are intelligent and polite. If you're not, sayonara. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. Pennsylvania calling here?
Yes.
Okay, you were saying that 600 years ago that Friday the 13th fell in October.
Over 600 years ago.
Okay, well, it fell in 1989.
In 1989 in October?
Yep.
Friday the 13th?
Yep. It fell in 1978, 1967. I'm looking at a perpetual calendar here. And, you're right about what it says. I looked it up in the encyclopedia under Templars, and it did state that it was in 1314, by the October 13th, that they did them in. They were burnt to the stake.
No, the day that they were rounded up was not, they were not burnt at the stake until several years later.
Right, 7 years later.
Yeah.
Right, that's correct. But the Friday, October 13th...
1307 was the year that they were rounded up. 1314 is the day that Jacques de Molay was burned at the stake.
Okay, and what's amazing here is 1989, the stock market did drop over 100 points on that day. And it occurred also in 1893, where there was also a stock market collapse. And in 1837, when the Bank of Maryland collapsed.
Yeah, all on Friday the 13th in October.
Correct.
Yeah.
And in 1809. also.
That's correct.
Yes.
I've got to go back and look at why I had the 600 years in my head, because I usually don't make that kind of mistake. But if you're looking at a perpetual calendar, I don't see how I can.
You can find it in your phone book.
I've got one right over in my desk, so it's not easy. It's not hard to check it, but I don't know. I'm beside myself with how I could make that kind of mistake. I usually don't do that.
Okay. All right, then. That's what I wanted to call you and tell you about.
Might be something else about the Templars that I got confused with the date. But anyway, I will check it and get back to everybody on it probably tomorrow night.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. You have a nice night.
And thank you for making that correction. When I'm wrong, I want to know about it, folks.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Even though it does upset him.
It only upsets me, not that somebody has called my attention to it. It upsets me that I
that's
did
right.
it.
That's right.
That's what upsets
that's
me.
That's right, exactly.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. Just what the other caller said, I've got a 1989 calendar here.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 13th, which was a Friday, the Dow Jones fell 190.58 points that day.
Well, this is very interesting. What may happen this month could be what we've all been expecting, huh?
Yeah, and a couple of other things I was wondering if you'd like for me to send these items to you. This is John calling from Houston. There was an article here in the Houston Chronicle September 30th. It shows a picture of the Canadian troops, one of the members of the Canadian UN detachment in Somalia back in 1993, when he took this poor 16-year-old civilian kid and beat and tortured that kid to death. And he's standing over, you could see the kid's hands tied behind his back with a rope, you know, like the SS used to.
Yeah.
They'd hang you up like that until you passed out from the pain.
Uh-huh.
Well, this guy is sitting there, and there's just blood all over this kid and all over the floor and all over the child. And he's there like his, you know, hey, here's my war trophy, pointing to the kid, holding his head with his right hand and pointing with his left index finger at the kid's face that's all bloodied and battered. And there's apparently some kind of an inquiry or an investigation going on in Canada about the conduct of the Canadian so-called peacekeepers that were assigned to Somalia, and many possible murders and atrocities and tortures that took place by the Canadians on the Somali people.
Racists.
Oh, absolutely.
They were terrible racists.
And I've also got an article here from the September 28th Chronicle that has a good picture of this new funny money, this new $100 bill that's coming out.
Front page, Veritas, issue number 5.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, describe it for those who don't get Veritas.
Yeah, it's got the hologram, and the portrait is off-center, and it's supposedly, of course, to work counterfeiting, but that's what they said when they came out with the polyester strip and the current currency.
Sure.
It'll find printing all over, you know, all around the...
Let me tell you the real reason. Look on that bill and see if you can find a contract anywhere.
No contract, huh?
That's absolutely correct. It is the final step before no cash that takes away the contract with the people, guaranteeing them real money. The final elimination of all guarantees.
And, of course, the big lie that they're perpetuating right now in the media, they're saying, oh, no, you won't have to turn in your old currency. Yeah, just like the Russians didn't have to turn in their old currency either, huh?
Well, see, people don't understand that. You see, within just a few days after a new currency comes out, all the old money can be made to disappear. Every time you make a deposit of cash in the bank, it merely disappears and the new money takes its place.
Sure.
The money will be turned in. It will be turned in without anybody knowing it, just like I've always said. The new money will take its place and there will be no old money.
Just like you can't find any $20 bills now that don't have the polyester strip.
That's right. And on a certain date, to catch those who have been holding old money out, they will declare it no longer legal tender in payment of debt.
You bet. You bet. I think it's time to say one round lock and load.
Yep, you got it.
Bill, keep up the great work, and all of you guys, and I listen to you guys every chance I get whenever the atmospheric conditions permit here in Houston. This is one of the rare nights that we actually have clear weather. And again, keep up the great work. We need a voice in the wilderness. And if the sheeple don't want to follow along, that's their problem.
Well, thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hold on just a second.
Man, you don't say that on the air. Dead air is a no-no.
Yeah, this is John from Houston, too.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of calls from Pennsylvania and Houston.
And, you know, I'm really glad I got a chance to get in with you tonight because I have a question for you, Bill. Last night, if you might know, that Colin Powell was here.
Yes.
And you didn't get a chance to really see him. But there were some guys, and they were basically dressed up in Special Forces uniforms, and normally where you have an MOS of the military, it said Civilian Patrol on it.
Civilian Patrol? I never heard of any such thing.
Yeah.
Did anybody ask them who they were?
No.
Why not? I would have.
They were behind lines and behind Secret Service, and nobody could get to them.
Huh. Now, that's really strange.
Yeah. They were dressed up basically like Rangers.
Somebody ought to be asking somebody about that.
But, for instance, on I think it's which is the right sleeve where it has the airborne insignia, yeah, above the two double A's, it said Civilian Patrol.
Hmm. Well, why don't some of you people down there start asking some pointed questions of some officials and tell them if they don't know the answer, you'd like for them to find out.
Yeah, so... it was kind of interesting to see that. And, you know, but he was, they were behind a bunch of people, so it was basically no way you could get to them or ask any questions. And plus, there are a bunch of Texas Rangers and Texas Marshals, too.
So, you mean baby burners?
Something like that.
Yeah, they were helping in Waco. They're baby burners.
Yeah, hopefully people will pay more attention.
I have no mercy for these people.
To what the head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms said.
Really?
I think that makes it a little bit obvious.
Oh, yeah, very obvious.
So, anyway, yeah, I just wanted to throw that at you and see if you can possibly dig anything up on...
No, that's... I'm giving you that assignment.
Okay, and also... if you know this or not, but you can get your books at Media Play.
Good.
So I'm waiting. They said they should have one of your books in and within a couple weeks.
Great.
So anyway, I'll let you get back to your program and get to somebody else.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the good old Texas Ranger. Used to be my heroes, you know, when I was a young man. A lot of my family came from Texas. And no more baby burners. They did nothing to stop what happened in Waco. They were part of it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Mike Raven from East Texas. Just wanted to call and let you know that the militia out here is with you guys, and we appreciate all the hard work that you've been doing. You were talking about the Pope coming in. And there was an article in the Dallas Morning News about a week ago talking about the Secret Service, the security that they're giving the Pope. It's the largest operation that they've ever done in their history. And they were bringing in agents from the ATF and IRS, all the different federal agencies.
Yeah, wouldn't it be something if somebody managed to sneak through and assassinate the Pope, and I hope to God that it does not happen. And then they could say, well, all the security in the world couldn't stop it, so we have to disarm everybody.
Yeah. I just thought it was really interesting. That's really the only, it was a little bit, just a real small article, about an inch.
Uh-huh.
And it was just real interesting.
Well, I'm going to tell you so the world knows. If the Pope is assassinated in October, it's the Knights Templar who did it.
One other question, and I'll let you go. Are you familiar with the Tri-States Militia out of South Dakota?
I'm familiar with most of the militias that exist in the country, yes. Not all, but most.
Didn't know if you were very familiar with them. I've had a little bit of contact with them, and just trying to figure out who they are.
I would be remiss in my duties and probably be relieved of my command if I did not. I am the director of the Intelligence Service for the 2nd Continental Army of the Republic.
What would we need to do out here in East Texas to get hooked up with you guys?
Well, we're not interested in how many people you have or where they live or where your headquarters is or how you do maneuvers or anything, but you should have one member of your militia, a member of the intelligence service, so that you'll have an intelligence connection and you can cut out of the loop of all the disinformation and bullshit that flows across places like the Patriot Facts Network and out of the militia of Montana.
Well, we've worked on trying to do that, and it's sometimes it's kind of hard to wade through all the got to put the waders on to get through all the crap that goes on. So.
You better believe it. Well, you can all pool together and have one of your people. We prefer an officer send to us for the information and join the intelligence service, and you can plug right in to the greatest source of information that exists for patriots in this country.
I will do that. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate, and I just do appreciate your hard work. And I've got one question for you and your guest there. How, you know, with all the information that we have and all of the work that we do, you know, it sometimes it's hard to deal with cynicism.
I find it difficult too, and every once in a while it creeps in. But
You know, I mean, sometimes you just want to scream, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do. I live on the top of a mountain, and I can do it.
But
and it doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah. But anyway, we're all here with you, so we do appreciate your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Well, Bob, that's it. You want to have some words of wisdom to impart to these wonderful people before we go downstairs and talk all night?
Well, I'll tell you what. Everybody out there that's listening, Bill is doing, I believe, what he feels God has sent him to do. And he's doing it the best way that he can. The only support that he needs is for people to quit sniveling and take control of their lives. And he's trying to give that to you guys. So keep dreaming. I mean, that's what's going to keep you positive. Don't bury yourself. There's a saying that if you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
Really?
Okay, look out. There's sunshine out there.
Thank you, Bob.
We love you guys.
Good night, folks. And God bless you all.
Not by begging on his knees. then I fall at your feet, and I howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I claw at your heart, and I tear at your sheet, I say, please.